Happy Sabbath. It's great to see you all on God's holy Sabbath day. I praise the Lord because He has brought you here today. Not by coincidence, but by providence. He has something for you. The Lord's storehouse is very large, and He has something just with our name on it. As we get into this morning's message, there we are. I'd like to draw your attention to our week of prayer that starts tomorrow night. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. First Love, it's entitled, in which we will be seeking to know what God's plan is for you and for me, no matter what stage of life we may be at. Because sometimes we think we know which way to go, and sometimes we have no idea of which way to go. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if you got some friends who could be in the same boat as you and me. And so make plans to be here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We'll be meeting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We will be off on Thursday night. You can take advantage of that to prepare for Sabbath. We'll be back Friday night, in which we will be drawing a close Sabbath morning. So make plans. You'll be greatly blessed. This isn't just a week in which we hear about things about God. This is a week in which we are further revived. And I don't know about you, but I need some of that. How about you? So make plans to be here for our week of prayer, First Love. As we get into the Word of God, let us pray. Loving Father, thank you because you are faithful. Thank you because you are a God who provides not some of our needs, but all of our needs. It could be that this morning we don't even know what we need, but you have that too. So speak to us, O God. Move us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Tears in heaven. This morning we'll be kind of concluding somewhat of a three-part series that we've done on Noah. If you missed part one, maybe there's some things that I shared today that you might be thinking could be a little strong, but when you have the foundation, then it makes the shingles a whole lot easier to put down. And so, Noah, I was excited as I looked out the window this morning and it was raining, just like somebody said it would rain, besides the weatherman. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by, can you hear me? Faith comes by hearing, and specifically not hearing what this person said or that person said, hearing the word of God. Faith. You see, faith led Noah to believe God's message. I reckon that was an important message for his time, don't you think? Or else he wouldn't have built the ark. You see, why build an ark if you don't believe what God said? If you don't believe that it was going to rain, could you imagine the type of ridicule that Noah went through? Working away all day trying to not only build an ark, but preach about what that ark is going to be used for. Rain now? Come on. You've been saying that for the last 119 years. And then it rained. Faith led Noah to build the ark, but not just that. Faith led Noah to build the ark with a wooden window. And you might think that that's not that important. We'll come back to this point a little later in this morning's message. Because everything God said is important. man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Some words aren't important. Every word that God has said is important. And faith led Noah to enter the ark. It's not on your slide there, but it's on there. Because if Noah didn't believe what God had said, much less would he have done it the way that God told him to do it. Because maybe he could have built something besides an ark. Or maybe he could have built a little boat. Or maybe he could have built a boat with ideas that Noah thought were good ideas, just not what God had told him to do. You see, Noah, he believed and entered the ark. He didn't believe in God's word for a time in his life, because Noah wasn't the only one who preached about the coming flood. Enoch preached about the flood. Methuselah preached about the flood. Noah preached about the flood. And there were some who preached about the flood, and they were laid to rest in due season. And there were some who even believed that it was going to rain, but then they stopped believing. You see, Noah believed until the end. He believed in the beginning, he believed in the middle, he believed in the end. This faith that we are in isn't just a faith to believe last year or last week. It's a faith to believe until the end. Doesn't the Bible say he who is faithful and endures until the end? There's like a big promise if you ask me. The Bible says, whoa. That's not what was supposed to happen. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have what? Works, is dead. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if faith is not accompanied by works, it is what? D-E-A-D, dead. James 2:17. You see, there's three things about faith. Number one, faith not based on God's word is not faith. Faith based on your opinion, that's not faith. Faith based on what somebody else said, that's not faith. Faith based on what God said, that's faith. But not just that. Faith with no action is dead. You see, if faith has no action, it's just a mental exercise that we just did. Faith must have action. Amen? And last but not least, the result of my faith is obedience. There's a verse in the Bible that kind of cracked me up when I read it, pertaining to Noah. It's chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, then God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah? Well, of course he was going to remember Noah. There was nobody else alive. Everybody else was dead. But you know, there's more to it than that. God remembered Noah. Why did God remember Noah? God remembered Noah because Noah remembered God. That's why God remembered Noah. You see, the flood message was present truth for that time. Just like it was gonna burn fire and brimstone in the days of Lot. That was present truth for Lot's time. Just as there will be a Sabbath that will be instituted that is in disagreement with the Bible, that is present truth for our time. You know, it makes me think of a woman who used to live a promiscuous life. She lived in a city called Jericho. and she had heard about God, and she wanted to follow God. And one day these two spies came by, and they told her, the city is going down, but if you trust God, make sure you have a red rope in your window. And if you do that, you have nothing to worry about. For Rahab, that was present truth. For our day, our present truth is different. But Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? It was faith that led Noah to build the ark, to enter the ark, to preach about the flood. It was faith that led Rahab to put out that red rope outside the window. It was faith that led Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? Faith without works, they would have been dead. Faith without works, we too shall be dead. You know the story about Noah? I really enjoy it because there's so much to learn from, to glean from. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. If you don't see it on the screen, it's because it's not on the screen. The Bible says, just so that we can turn to it. The Bible says, by what? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Noah believed God. It led him to move. It led him to have family worship. Why? Because the Bible says he prepared an ark to the saving of his what? His house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Question, church family. How many boats in this story? One. Uno. One boat. I know that's the obvious. I'm doing that for a reason. It's one boat. One way out. The Bible says there is only one Lord. One faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4, verse 5. You see, it doesn't matter if you're on the left side of the boat or if you're on the right side of the boat, as long as you're in the boat. It doesn't matter if you're in the front of the boat or the back of the boat, on the main floor or on the top floor, as long as you're in the boat. Because how many boats were there? One. How many faiths? And as a local church body, church family, are we all moving together? That's a question to ask. You see, what a beautiful thing that we can move together. To grow together. Last weekend there was a wonderful camp out. Thank you, Sandra, for heading that up. And you know what? We need to kind of be more there in the togetherness of our events where we can grow together. Because church isn't where some are going this way and some are going that way and we don't know about each other. No, church is moving in the same direction, communicating with one another, helping one another. Because how many faiths are there? one faith. This past week, I had to get a new clock. Because the clock that was on my night table, a little girl really appreciated using it because it was a clock CD player. And so I went all over town to try to find a clock CD player, and I came to realize I just dated myself. Because they don't have those anymore. And so I gave her mine, which left me without a clock next to my night table. And I found one that worked good. It even has the date, seconds, temperature, even changes colors. I was so excited until it came time to go to bed. Because I, for one, need darkness and silence to sleep. Others of you, you can sleep with the lights on, a whole bunch of noise, you name it. The world can end and you're still sleeping. Not so with me. I turned off the light. I even went to bed early. And then I saw the light. It's too bright. My clock was too bright. And I couldn't sleep. You know, when the clock is too bright, we can't sleep. The next day, I found something amazing, at least for my sleeping habits. I found a dimmer. I dimmed that thing. Last night, I slept like a baby. You see, we act as if we know what time it is. If you follow football, sometimes we treat the Lord's coming as if it's preseason. No, it's not the first quarter, third, or fourth. This is overtime. The game's about to end. And we could tempt it to think that by looking at the world, that's the clock. No, the world is not the clock. I'm trying to keep up with the times of what's happening in the world. I'll tell you what the clock is. The Bible is. The Word of God is the clock. When we're in the Word of God, we can't sleep. When I'm not in the Word of God, I sleep more than if I would have drinking the whole bottle of Dramamine. There was a time in which I would listen to secular music. So much so that if you would have asked me, or if I would have gone on Jeopardy and the category was 90s music, oh, I would have made a lot of money. Because I knew them all. So much so that I was starting to think that in these songs, there was some type of truth, some type of real direction that it could actually give me. One of those songs was by Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven. And you start wondering, if you don't know the Word of God, about tears in heaven. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I gotta go to my clock. Verse 1 through 8. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, what? Peace and safety, relax, don't worry, it's going to be okay. World peace. And then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in what? No, because our clocks are bright.
that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? Faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Do we know what's coming down the pike? Yes, we do. And it looks something like this. Same book, chapter 4, verse 13 and on. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what's about to happen. Jesus' second coming. When we think about Noah, I reckon there must have been some vents in that boat. Because there must have been some interesting aromas, if you ask me. But the Bible says that God told Noah to make how many windows? A window. You see, it wasn't a cruise liner with a whole bunch of nice glass windows. It was one window. And I reckon God must have told Noah to make one window out of grace and mercy. Why? So that he wouldn't have to see this. So that he wouldn't have to see those that he knew die. Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise. Could you imagine what that shall be like? Wow. The Bible talks about resurrection. That's for you. John 5:28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. The Bible tells us there are two resurrections. One resurrection happens when Jesus comes. And one resurrection happens 1,000 years later. Is this not what the Bible says? When Jesus comes, what a reception that shall be. Because everything you've been hoping for finally happens. To see your Savior, to see your God and King, to be reunited with your loved ones, and then to have Jesus someday place on you a crown. For what we have done? No. For what he has done. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, that will be the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus comes and the righteous ascend to heaven with their Lord. That starts what's known as the millennium. A time in which the devil is here on earth. All the righteous are with the Lord heading to heaven. All the wicked, they are dead. If they were alive when Jesus came back, the wicked, they will die from the brightness of his coming. If they were alive, they will remain in the grave. Even if there's some more details to that.
But Revelation 20, verse 4 says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. You see, these 1,000 years that start at Jesus' second coming, we're going to have some questions. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? You see, when we get to heaven, we're going to have some questions that look like this. Number one, I thought so-and-so was going to be here. Why aren't they here? And Jesus will open the books and show us why. Question number two, how did so-and-so make it in here? Because I seen them. And then Jesus will open and say, at the last moment, they turned their hearts to me. And then the last question will be, Lord, how in the world did I make it in here? It is during this time that God's people are in heaven and the earth is desolate. And the Bible tells us, Revelation 20, verse 7, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be relieved from his prison, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So Jesus comes back, dead in Christ are raised, living righteous. They meet Jesus in the sky, they head to heaven. The 1,000 years were able to ask all our questions and get every question answered satisfactorily. And at the end of those 1,000 years, there's a resurrection that Jesus spoke about in the book of John. Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is at the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured. The holy city comes down as the second resurrection has occurred. Satan gathers the wicked who have been resurrected to try to overtake the city. And now there's a scene like we can't even begin to understand. By the grace of God, being on the inside of the walls, looking out on the outside of the walls, kind of like just when Noah was in the ark. He saw some people die. God didn't give him a 360 degree view. But we're going to see some people die. Is it going to be people you know? People I know? You see, there will be tears in heaven. And even when the New Jerusalem descends and we see those that are on the outside of the walls, there will be tears then. As soon we see them be destroyed by their own decisions, that same fire purifies the earth. That fire is what then leads John the Revelator to say, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first things have passed away. Then we get to this verse that we read so much at funeral services, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. But Jesus' question still remains, will he really find faith? Why do I share this with us? Well, I believe this is true. Why? It's in the Bible. Why? Because God said it.
it's going to happen. And not just that, but because it's time. The Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the what? From the truth. And be turned aside to fables. Why? It's not only true. It's not only God's word. It's not only time, but last but not least, hopefully we can avoid some hard goodbyes and tears in heaven. That's why. What can we do? Four things. Number one, believe what God has said. Number two, get to know Jesus daily. Number three, pray for those who don't know Jesus. And last but not least, ask God to show you when and how to do something so that they can come to know Jesus. Faith without what is dead? Works. Faith without action is dead. It is not time to think about what we know. It's time to act on what God has said. If you're looking for a simple way in which we can take steps of faith, there is something happening tomorrow night. Maybe this could be something that you invite somebody to be on this side of the wall and not on that side of the wall. Not that we're the judge, but we want to take every opportunity to make sure that they have gotten to know Jesus. Noah believed God and prepared an ark, got his family inside. And the Bible says that God credited it to him as righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want to take steps today so that tomorrow I don't have to say some hard goodbye. How about you? Let us stand as we sing, when he cometh, to take up his jewels, all his jewels, his precious jewels, his loved and his own.
Page 218 to 18.
Shine in their beauty, rise. Loving Father, thank you because you have spoken to us. You have given us your word. We don't have to be late. We have the clock. We can be awake and in the light. For when we are with you, who is the light, there is no darkness. Father, I pray that you will make us uncomfortable. I pray that if for some reason our faith is not where you want it to be, move us forward, God. There is still a city yet to be warned of the coming judgments. And just as this message of judgment is on one side, the other side is a message of mercy and grace. So thank you for this time, and may we use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.